Scott might do that, though.
Right? I'd like to call the government ops meeting to order. Today is December 27th. The time is 1:03. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congressman Supranoff.
Here.
Congressman Tillman. Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Bucklehead.
Present. Next item on our agenda is prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today and we ask that you help to guide this committee, Lord, as we go about the work of the Osage people. We ask that you look down upon our men and women in uniform, wherever they may be, keep them safe and bring them home. We ask that you look down upon our elders and our youth. All these things we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Congressman Walker.
There, towards the end, I motion to report the Senate's business finished. I should say, with the do pass recommendation would be my question.
I was
going to
say, am I on the committee? It's because I'm on the committee. That's why.
I'm not sure that I clerked this meeting.
See, that would be.
I'm not sure. And that's why. It's highlighted at the end in those few spots, so.
To go back and look.
I will go back and listen to the audio to get those.
Well, we just wait
changes.
Until the next meeting to approve the minutes.
So yeah, you see the it says made a motion to report committee as a, it should say as a committee substitute to Congress with a, and then it is.
And also adjourned before it started.
That could be an issue.
I'm sorry.
I will go through and listen to the recording.
Motion to table the minutes.
Motion on the floor, is there a second?
Motion
on the floor, is there a second? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
The next meeting, we will have 2 minutes to approve. Next item on the agenda is consideration of ONCR 1709, a resolution to authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and consent to jurisdiction to Paycom for payroll services by contract. Congresswoman or Speaker Pratt is the sponsor. You have the floor.
Thank you. Congresswoman, you all have a copy of the support documentation. Kind of hard to read the first page, but here's a copy of that. And when this was originally requested to be placed on the special session call, the first question I asked was why, because we had just gotten out of a special session, and it was expressed to me that this came up, not the process suddenly, but the end result of why, what led to them requesting a limited waiver of sovereign immunity came up sort of abruptly. They were in at the end of their negotiation process with the Assistant Attorney General, Jeff Jones. Sorry, Jeff, where are you? You're awesome, but sorry, I forgot your name. And so there's which is the time frame of when they got started on October 1st, when those funds were available to move in. So there was just a little bit of a timeline to go through. and HR is, the HR director, Scott Johnson, is here to discuss this further, as well as Assistant Attorney General Jeff Jones, if you have further questions. Thank you.
Jeff, you want to come to the table?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want me to speak, or do you want me to answer questions?
Committee, I think the best thing to do is to let you go ahead and speak on the subject, and then we'll open it up for questions that the committee may have, unless we've already got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this is.
Okay. And I'll defer to Scott Johnson as to what this is, but PAYPOM does the payroll, or will be doing the payroll for Osage Nation. We do that in-house now with a fairly antiquated software program, and it's just moving to a better position on doing the payroll. So that's what it is. It's a company that does payroll. Did that answer that question?
Right, so we have a payroll department right now, or a payroll clerk.
Person.
Person,
clerk, yes.
One person that does it.
Two
people. Okay. And right now we're going to move to a company that's going to do all of our payroll. Will they do all of the payroll now?
Can I defer to either Chad or Scott?
Yeah.
So I'll take a stab at it. I guess for the long story, as short as I can, when I first came, I identified a few things that were really behind for the HR. The first thing was the application process. So a year plus ago, I went through the whole, what I thought was the RFP process, to find out that I hadn't done anything right, and I got it all kicked out. So I got IT to build us a system so we could at least get our applications online. And but the further we get into it, the more behind we are. I mean, this system that we have right now was put in 99, and so you can imagine the technology that's changed since then. But this system will be more than just a payroll system. It will manage the whole HR system from the time we advertise the position, and it could even advertise the position for us all the way until we pay them, terminate them. It will also run all of our health benefits. Right now we use a separate software. It'll be one software package that will do all the benefits, all of the managing, all of the reporting of everything that you will need to know as far as any activities. So the timeline that was mentioned earlier, the biggest issue that we had on it was that we did the RFP, we sent out, we had I think nine, we narrowed it down to three, then we narrowed it down to two, then we had the people come in and we did a sandbox so they could get in there and see how the system worked. And then we made our selection. Then whenever it came time for us to get the contracts approved, then I sent it to Jeff, the Assistant Attorney General, and when we found out that this problem came up. And that put us after the session, because we couldn't do anything until we had the funding for the system. So.
Okay, so what I'm looking at says a payroll service agreement, and then your brief description said that it's a system that can help you from advertising to termination, and there are paychecks also. So what are we engaging for? Are we engaging for all of those services?
All of those services.
It's more than a payroll service agreement.
Yeah, it's really, I think we run into the limited waiver of sovereignty because of the payroll system, but the system is so much more than a payroll. It's an HR system that talks to the payroll system. Right now, HR talks to payroll, but payroll doesn't talk back to HR. There are two different systems, and reporting and pulling reports is just so, I mean, it's crazy.
So then, sorry.
Go ahead.
So then some of the information that we've been asking you for the past 2 years that we haven't gotten, such as, well, I won't go into such as, but we've asked for a lot of information from you, and sometimes the response we get is, well, that's not what HR does, that's what accounting does. So what you're saying is this is an integrated system, and then when maybe a report would be necessary and required.
I would hate to bring up 16100, but all the stuff in 16100, I think that this system would be able to answer all those questions with normal reporting process once we get it up and running. So I think that this thing, most of the stuff that we have to do right now, we have to do from another spreadsheet. So we can't tell you the number of Osages we have without running a full report. This one would run the report every month if we wanted it to, just on Osages as an example, or years of service. Another one, so when we reach 6, 8, and 10 years of service, increase in the number of hours of PTO earned time off, the system won't even, that we have right now, won't even pull that out. We have to pull it out and feed it. So if we miss one, then we have to go back because the system can't even do that.
Okay. Can I keep going?
Yes. And somewhere in the chief's communications, it said something about being able to track tasks. Does that sound familiar? Maybe I need to pull that document.
It can help us write SMART goals. It can help us track the SMART goals for every individual. It can help us on every phase. So the wage, the compensation, it, start to finish. I'm not exactly sure what he was referring to on that one, but I have two representatives from Paycom here today too, in case there were some questions that, because we haven't really started using the system either. So
I have a quick question. What other software did you look at, or did you just, have you worked with Paycom before?
I have not.
Okay. How did you find them? I'm just wondering.
So we went through the regular RFP process, and we had a couple of ones that we kind of heard about, and that we gave to Tammy, and then she went online and found some others, and then she advertised it, and I think we wound up with 9. That had submitted the process. Then we had a team that went through and scored them like we do with all of them. And then we narrowed those 9 down to 3. Then we brought those 3 in and interviewed them with the committee. And then we narrowed it down to 2. And then we had them come in and sit down with the end users. So the people in payroll and HR sat down with each one of the different groups, and they showed them how it worked on theirs would work. And the two companies that we came up with, one is really where the technology is already there and it's already ran through. The other one is you build it the way you want it. And that was kind of the way. The ones that really knew what they wanted, kind of wanted one, the other one that didn't know, we fell in line with the one that could had it already made up, and we could operate it from there.
I know at the casino, at one point when I very first started, we had switched systems, and from there we opened up another 2 or 3 properties, and we went from, I don't know, 400 or 500 employees to, you know, 1,200 employees, depending on who we're opening up a property. And it as you know, systems like this are costly. There's no other way to say it to the people that are appropriating the money. Get ready for an eyeful, because things like this are costly, but they're needed. And in the long run, the cost, the benefit outweighs the cost because things are done quickly and it's able to spit out reports that are needed in order for us to forecast and to make good decisions. I'm just making sure that this is a software, because I've also been involved where we thought that the software was going to be the end-all be-all and we paid a lot of money for it, and then turns out it's really not what we needed, and it wasn't able to adapt to us as we grow, and it became kind of obsolete very quickly. And the nation has been involved in things like that before, so I think it's a good thing that we're talking to executive and HR is here, and members of Congress, the questions that you've had in the past that you maybe didn't get answered in the past, if you can remember what those questions were, I think it's a good thing to remind HR about questions that you may have had that didn't get answered, because now's the time, you've got the people here and they're going to be able to tell us whether questions like that will be able to be answered. I don't know if all this is making sense, but I'm just throwing it out there, because if we're going to spend money on good software, we need to make sure that it's something that everyone is going to see the benefit, including this branch of government, because usually in a perfect company, HR can talk to payroll and payroll can talk to HR through a mechanism of a good software, and hopefully this will alleviate some of those bumps in the road that we've had from this branch to that branch. So.
One of the things that that I'm sure you guys get to hear a lot about is our application process, because right now with it built in-house, we don't have any way of storing a resume. So with this one, you can apply and put your resume out there, and then you can pull your resume back up again if you apply for 1 or 20. You can go back out and you can update your own resume. And then once the job is filled, and then all of that information that you've already put in feeds right into the HR system. And so it goes all the way through. The other thing that it will do is the financial assistance side. Is we've worked with financial assistance, and if you recall, I remember in one of the meetings, our temp pool that you guys approved, we cut it in half this year because the financial assistance group has helped us place employees for a longer period of time than we could to alleviate our temp pool. Now we can share all of our applications and they can share theirs, so we're going to have one database that everyone can pull from so that they can go back and forth so we can help the other departments. And I think that was one of our main goals when we went with this too. And we really think it's going to be great for that side.
Kogi, then Angela, then Maria.
I guess this committee needs to focus on this waiver of sovereignty. The rest of this, as far as I'm concerned, we have to rely on your expertise and your assurance that there are no waivers in here or assumptions of liability or other clauses beyond normal. And you're assured that this is going to solve your problems. I have to rely on that, because I could read this thing all day and probably not think of everything. But I read this one sentence from the client, which is us, expressly waives any claim of sovereign immunity as to the client's business dealings with Paycom, and it's noted in here that that's a limited waiver. Is that a limited waiver? That sounds about as broad as you can get. We just totally waive any claim of sovereign immunity. So, is that?
That's not limited. We are waiving it if Congress, and that's why we're coming to you all, is that we're asking you all to waive the sovereign immunity of Osage Nation as to this contract, as to Paycom. They call it limited, but it is not limited, but in negotiations with them, their stance was they wouldn't change their contract. This is one of the, you know, we've been before Congress before asking you all to waive sovereign immunity, and I could only think of three times. One was for PBA Health for the pharmacy billing for the clinic. One was for Drug Court, Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse, and then BOK for the loan. So, you know, we're very selective about who we want to waive our sovereign immunity to, and this is one of the very few, only the fourth one that I could think of that, like you said, the benefit outweighs the cost. I think the benefits of having this program would outweigh our liability.
Would you suggest that we counter with some other type of waiver? I mean, what is this supposed to do?
This exposes us only to the lawsuit, only as to the payroll part of this contract, if that made any sense. So, and I was asking them this morning how this works. Paycom does our payroll, sends out the checks, and they write checks on our account. So we pay our payroll. And the only thing I could think of is if we didn't have the money in there and Paycom wrote checks and we didn't have enough money to pay our payroll, then they could come back and sue us for the money they're out for paying our payroll and we didn't have the money.
So is this a web-based system then? You would get all the information that you needed to satisfy our payroll via the internet?
Is that...
Would you like for one of the Paycom?
Sure, yes, please.
Yeah.
Sarah,
I'm Sarah, and this is Bo from Paycom.
Okay.
Can you just step up to...
Sure, yeah. So,
Bo
DeMarco
from Paycom.
Yes, it's a web-based, cloud-based software. It's a service that we're providing on your behalf. So, basically, you guys are in control of the relationship and control of the transaction. So, as payroll is being paid, that information comes through, we off your account, write checks off that account. Correct.
Okay. So, there'll be timekeeping stations. How I know currently right now what our staff does is they, our staff here at Congress, is they log into a system, they keep their time, we batch it up, whoever's their supervisor batches it up and sends it on to our payroll department for them to do that. So how will that system work for us? Now, I agree that we're just looking at a waiver of sovereign immunity, but I'm trying to see what glitches we might have in the in-between, and I know that the Attorney General, but just for my own satisfaction, I have to know what's going on here.
Sure, there's multiple ways to do for time, to capture time. So there's, whether it be a computer, even from a cell phone, if that's something you want, we can limit and restrict IP addresses or open them up. You can do it from a time clock. You guys have things like that. So there's multiple ways to get that done, but typically, you know, through a computer.
How are we going to do that here at the Osage? I mean, we're signing a contract with you. We're waiving our...
it's really up to you guys how you're going to do it.
So we...
You guys
Mr. Johnson, how are we going to do this? Yeah.
So we have three methods that we've proposed. Right now, we have the biometric time clocks, which measures everyone's size of their hand. And when they come in, they put it on, put in their ID number, put their hand down on it, and clock them in. And do the same thing when they clock them out. You can also, you can do any of these combinations. The other thing that you can do, you can go to your computer when you log on, and you can go in and clock in your actual time. Now, all of these will be actual times. When you log out, right before you log out, you clock out, and that'll record that time. So instead of the way we're doing it now, is two things. Number one, we come in and we say that we're here at 8 and we leave at 4:30 and we took a 30-minute lunch. This will clock us in and out of the actual time that we're here. The other thing is that we hope that we will be able to, right now we pay on Friday, we end our pay week on a Wednesday, and we turn our payroll in on a Monday. So we have 3 days that we're guessing if people are going to be here. And we're going to make it real time and where there is none of this lag over. So that's the other thing with the electronics that we can do so much faster and easier and quicker. And we still have to verify and all that still doesn't get the supervisors out of that part. Then the third one that we could do is you can clock in with your phone, and I think that would be limited maybe with the police or something like that, or firemen. But we could do it right here, but you'd have to be within 50 feet of this IP address as an example. So we can put restrictions on any way that we wanted to, because we could track exactly where you're at when you clock in.
I'm going to let Angela, because she's been waiting. So.
So I feel like I was going back. Okay, to follow up with that, you said, because there's been talk of it being fingerprints and things like that, what you said was measures the size of your hand.
Yes, ma'am.
Not DNA type stuff. Okay, just for clarification.
I think, do we have it set up here? Is it set up in your break room? Okay. So IT's been going around. I think we have them all set up. Surprised that they haven't gotten here. That's one of the things that once we figure out if we get the system, then we're going. But we want to try to get that implemented the way it is now. We've tested it on a couple of different departments, so we know it works. Now, it has nothing to do with Paycom, the hand unit, the biometric. So we have to download it into the system, which will work just fine.
But that was the question I was going to ask you. That has nothing to do with Paycom. That's just however the nation chooses to do that.
Right.
They are just paying based on the information we send them.
They'll collect. We give them the data, they'll collect the data, and then pay off that data.
Okay, my other question would be, this total initial investment, is there a second cost, an additional cost on top of that to come, or?
There's the per payroll fees. So initial investment, we've got the per payroll fees happens every payroll, and the annual cost after that.
And the 26 payrolls.
Right.
Okay, and then, so I understand the need for the, well, your request for the limited waiver. So I would just go back to one part that you can see everything that's included in there, but what is government and compliance? It says included, like how would you implement, how is that implemented?
That's just a service we do in terms of like FMLA, different compliance pieces of it. So all those different pieces that go into, ACA reporting and all that, that's just a service, what's called one of our services.
So right now we're paying another company to do our Affordable Care Act. So every person in the nation, we have to track the number of hours worked for a couple of different reasons, and then also if they pay and the amount that they pay, because there's fines, so we have to turn that reporting in annually. So we're having to do that with the third party now. So that will also be a reduction for now.
All right, thank you.
Maria,
and
Tuggy.
So Congressman Super and I pointed out we're looking at a limited waiver, but I think that it does go into a little bit further than that. About $161,000 a year to maintain this contract. It's been mentioned that our IT department has built us the system that we now use for our applications. I'm just wondering, and you said that there are going to be some extra benefits that this is going to be able to do for us to have this system. Is there going to be any balance of cost? I mean, we're investing.
So the FMLA, we pay to have it monitored as well, because we have requirements, federal requirements.
Right.
The Affordable Care Act is a huge one that we pay for. That'll come in-house. We pay for a separate one for the benefit section for when we do our open enrollment. We will be able to tie all of our open enrollment stuff right into this. It won't happen tomorrow, but we'll be able to download, and once we get it, we'll use this system. And once you make your selections, it'll automatically feed right into the back into the payroll system. So we don't have to duplication of services is probably the thing that we do all over the place. Between payroll system and HR, we're constantly adding, doing the same work, putting the same person back in. This should flow, it will flow, everyone all the way through the system.
Right, so will that be cost savings?
Yes.
To us, and does that mean people's jobs?
I mean, we are where everybody can hear that, so, but in theory, we will have people's positions will change for sure. If it's not, I can already tell you that I can name two contracts that will be eliminated, and there's probably more. One contract is for $26,000, just as an example, that we'll be able to eliminate from this by adding this system.
I'll just elaborate a little bit more on that, if you would, please, because we're looking at $160,000 reoccurring appropriation request in order to do this. I mean, I'm hearing you say that it's going to increase our efficiency, should reduce the duplication of efforts by multiple department staff members. So there is
the system we have now is not free. You're paying something now for the systems that we have.
For the systems that we've had since 1999, we're still paying an annual fee?
Yes.
But approximately how much is that?
That's correct, right? Absolutely.
And how much is that?
You remember?
Not for the payroll module. For the program and the module.
So you pay for the HR module, you pay for the payroll. So I think our section was like 40,000.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So, it's always been there.
RJ?
So, I don't want to get too far off away from what we're here to make a decision on is the limited waiver of sovereign immunity, but the time clock, it's already been implemented. Regardless if this happens or not, the modules for the time clocks are already being put in, is that correct?
Not through PACOM.
Right, but they're separate issues, is my.
Yes.
Okay.
But they create a bigger issue with the system we have now, because we don't have a good method of forwarding them in and doing the time with the system that we have. It's not going to be an easy flow. It's kind of like trying to put a 2017 part on a 1999 automobile and say you're going to beef it up and it's going to be more efficient. They're not the same. They don't talk. They don't communicate. Just to pull the data off of the system that we have right now, we couldn't even get that done. I don't know how to explain it other than that.
So when were the time clocks, when were they decided that we were going to do that? I wasn't really familiar with that. I've heard talk about it in the past. I've heard talk about it recently. I didn't know we were doing it, though. Did I miss it?
I think that was one of the things that the chief ran on was to get there. And so we've been working on it 2 years probably to get it in. So
are they being utilized?
In some of the departments. Not all the departments. They're in all the departments.
I want to get too technical, but where is the data? Where does the data go to, and how is it reviewed, and who's doing that?
Well, see, it was mainly for number one, all the data would have to be approved just like the time sheets are now electronically. So the supervisors would have to review each of those time sheets, just like they're currently doing. Then that information would then be uploaded into the payroll system, and that's where we haven't got that system worked out yet.
Okay, I'm not trying to, I don't want to get too far off on that.
Wait, can you?
And then I want to come back to this waiver of sovereign immunity. All right, Jeff, are you comfortable? Can you give us your assurance that as it's written, we should be comfortable with this, or is it too broad? What is your advice on that?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. Is it too broad? It is a waiver of sovereign immunity as to our dealings with PACOM. And PACOM said, well, it's a limited waiver because it only applies to us. But I agree that that's a waiver only to them, only as to this contract. I mean, they couldn't sue us for not paying our electric bill or the city. That it's only as to our dealings with them, but it is a waiver as to them, which, like I said, we have done in the past, very selectively we have done in the past.
Well, that waiver wouldn't, I'm just trying to think of what we might be overlooking. It wouldn't apply to illegal dealings.
No, I think it applies if we don't pay them, they can sue us and say, our contract said you'd pay us and you didn't.
Well, it also says in here consent to jurisdiction, but the jurisdiction is Oklahoma and federal court, not our courts, right?
Right. We're consenting to the jurisdiction in Oklahoma County. They wanted somewhere near their corporate headquarters, so it would be Oklahoma County, Oklahoma law. And if we agreed not to do Oklahoma County, we'd have to go to the Western District Federal Court in Oklahoma County, in Oklahoma City.
What do you think about that? Is it just a take it or leave it deal?
It's a take it or leave it deal. Mm-hmm. And that's what I asked them. I said, is this take it or leave it? And they said, yes, it's got to go this way. So I think, again, like I said earlier, the benefits of using them are worth the risk of waiver of sovereign immunity.
One thing to mention, too, sorry to interrupt you, but we've got almost 50 different tribes, casinos, nations across Oklahoma, the great area, that use PACOM and are familiar with PACOM. So we've got quite a few lists. We've got actually a reference letter from the Pawnee tribe as well. But Arapahoe tribe, Buffalo Run, Creek Nation, the Pawnee tribe, Potawatomi tribe. So we've got less than nearly 50 different similar type clients that currently use us and sign off on the same paperwork, and not any issue with that.
And we do have he said a letter of reference from the Pawnee tribe if the committee wants to look at that, what he's using.
Could I ask, have you ever been involved in litigation with any tribes you have agreements with? You don't have to name the tribe, I just want to know if you ever.
Yes, I personally worked with a couple of them and actually was involved in their Congress or their council meetings. With them, it was council and the Congress, but was involved in it, and
I think what he's asking, did you have to sue a tribe?
Oh, no. I thought you meant that I sit in on a meeting.
I was like
great, sorry.
She's already.
No.
Yeah, she said yes. That's what she's talking about.
No. Sorry, I totally misunderstood. No, we've never had to. I mean, I've been with PACOM for 9 years and have worked with several nations and tribes, and no, sir.
No litigation.
No, sir. Because it's literally, you guys run the relationship. You submit the payroll, that's when we take over, you know, and do our part. If you don't ever submit the payroll, we can't do our part. I mean, if you don't have the money, that, as Jeff mentioned, that's the only reason it ever happened.
So, Mr. Johnson, were you part of the selection committee?
I was.
Was that one of the questions that was asked outside of what your, was there any waiver of sovereign immunity question asked? Okay.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
The AG's office feels we kind of got caught up short on this deal. So we have, Morgan and Tammy Leeper worked together, got some language. In all our RFPs now that go out, it's going to have a clause here that says you're going to waive your sovereign immunity, or we will not waive our sovereign immunity to meet your contract needs. So we're not going to get caught up short right at the end of the year here again. They're going to know at the outset that we're not going to waive our sovereign immunity. So hopefully we don't get up to where they've, you know, narrowed it down to one person and all of a sudden, whoa, we got a sovereign immunity issue. We're going to put this language in the RFPs from here on, so hopefully we don't have
this. And we would never, if it was in there, we would never interview them to begin with.
Right.
Because they couldn't meet that requirement.
Correct.
So that would have been weeded out if we'd had that.
Maria and then Cody.
Well, I just want to kind of make one more closing statement because Congresswoman Buffalo had mentioned, put it out there on the table, what the information that I thought that this, to ask about the information we could possibly get. But I just want to make a point here because I'm looking at the letter from the chief. I'm not going to put it out on the table what I want because I don't know right now at this point. But I do want to say that in this letter from the chief, it says, there is no request for an appropriation. The funds have already been appropriated. And I don't believe that anybody sitting here at this table knows that we have already appropriated the funds for this service. I want to have that on the record. Was anybody aware here at the table that we've already appropriated the funds for this service?
I gathered that much.
Well, there was never a dollar being put in towards that we're doing this in our appropriation bill that we got, or any of the information we received. Was this appropriated to your budget?
Yes, it was a line item on the budget.
Well,
we didn't get your budget. So, you know, we didn't get any support documents. That's not the fight right now. It's a point I'm making that we don't get the information that we need. And when we're at the table, we're told that if we do this newer, better service and waive our sovereign immunity so you can contract with this company, which I want you to have all the tools you need to serve our people. I do. I just am having to make a point here that we don't get the information we need at this table to do the work of people. And hopefully in the future, if we have access to this type of information from Paycom, and I think they're probably a reputable company. I saw that they put a letter down that they work with other people well. That's a tool that we all need to do the work of the people. And I would hope moving forward in the future that when we ask for information that can easily be compiled for reporting, for appropriation purposes, that you will be an advocate to get that information for us. And I just needed to say that. Sorry if it seemed harsh, but anyway, I'm done.
Peggy?
Well, go ahead. If yours is more pertinent, but mine's awful. Something else again.
I was going to. I'm kind of going to drive a talk to you a bit, so you go ahead and get the money.
Either one of you can give us some.
Well, if I understand you right, you're saying that in the future you would not waive sovereign immunity.
No.
So, what is it about this firm exclusively that we would want to deal with them and waive sovereign immunity when we could go with someone else and not waive? I mean, is there a compelling reason to go with these people? I mean, probably you can justify it, but
I think there's two reasons. One is after Scott interviewed them, they have the best services, and the number two choice doesn't have as good services, but they're more expensive. So Paycom appears to be the best choice even better than the number two and cheaper than the number two. The second off, we're caught up here at the end of the year. We need Paycom to start January 1st. If we go into the new year without having a company that's going to do this for us, then we're going to end up sending everybody two W-2s this year. Paycom is ready to roll, and we need somebody to start January 1st to hit that first pay period of January 13th. Did that answer your question at all? Or?
Well,
I think Scott put all his eggs in one basket, picked the best, and then this came up, and we're having to deal with this issue where in the future we hope we don't have to deal with this issue.
But the money was appropriated for this back in October, according to
That's what he said. I don't know.
And then at that point, you began the RFP process.
The RFP process was started before then, but we couldn't get serious. I mean, we could easily say, you know, we don't have the money. So we already had them in, we'd been interviewing, then we set up the interviews, set up the process so we could move forward. But, yeah. So until we had the money, we didn't commit ourselves in any manner other than the RFP. You know, so.
How much was budgeted for this service in your budget?
$300,000.
Annually?
For this year.
Okay.
Because it's normally higher to set it up and get it every year. So.
Congressman Norris, put your hand up.
Maybe I missed this, but now this agreement, is it, once the agreement is signed, then it's in effect until either party terminates the agreement? Is
yes,
that correct?
That's correct.
So it doesn't say we're signing an agreement for 5 years and it locks it. I mean, it's just renewed. Is it automatically renewed annually? Is that how that is? The agreement? Is it an annual?
Yes. No, yes. It's exactly like you said. It's just an agreement. We don't do contracts with any of our clients because we say we're only as good as our last payroll. And so we don't hold you in to a length of service, basically. So if you process 3 months with us and you guys aren't satisfied with the service, you are free to leave. We ask for 30 days. Just let us know. We're going to help you get your information. Literally in 9 years that I've been with Paycom, it's happened. One client has left because of an acquisition. And so we work with you on that. But no, there's no link that you're locked in with us.
And Paycom can do the same to the nation.
Correct.
That it's
yes,
signed a contract with. Or not, if you're not happy with us, you can walk too.
Yes, and I think it's in the agreement as well. We give you a 30-day or 60-day notice as
30
well.
30-day.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
Tuggy, were you finished?
My problem, man. I don't know, I'm just kind of wondering, it's only what, 5 days till the end of the year? What would you do if we didn't approve this? You still issued W-2s, wouldn't you?
Right, we would have to just keep going with the system that we've got going. And
can you work this in 5 days?
Can we get Paycom up to speed in 5 days?
Yeah.
Yes. And the reason is because we get paid December 30th, and then we've got till January 13th, so we actually have 19 days. And they've assured us they can be up and running and have that first payroll out on time on January 13th.
RJ?
Okay, well, I'm going to have to get back in the ditch for just a minute. That's kind of fun.
You have 10 minutes to do that for
yes,
the next
ma'am.
Meeting.
Yes, Chairwoman. Mm-hmm. So, back on the time clock bill, how are they paid for? Are they paid for by department, or is that in the HR budget last year, or how?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Does anybody know when we paid for the time clocks, or did the time clocks?
Yeah, they were paid by the department, and that was last year, late 15 or last year. I think it was last year. 2016, but it might have been
15,
right when I first got here.
How much are they? 1,000, 20,000? I have no idea.
I think they're less than 1,000 per. But I don't know the exact number. I have no number in my head. I need to give it to you. I can get back to you this afternoon.
And you stick your hand by it?
Say again?
You stick your hand by it? On it? And then what does that determine how your, how many hours you get paid that pay period, or?
When you clock in or out?
That clocks you in and out. You put in your code.
What if you don't have 40 hours in the machine?
Then you wouldn't get paid 40 hours, unlike we do right now.
Discourages tardiness.
Well, how come it's only being used in certain places and not everywhere?
Mainly because we couldn't get, we haven't figured out a good method to roll it into the payroll system. Without, there's just no good flow. We don't have a payroll system that allows anything to flow into it, if that makes sense. Where the new system, we can't accept, we'll download it into an Excel spreadsheet, the Excel spreadsheet will roll right up in it. Our system that we have right now don't allow, so we have to come up with another software system to accept it, to roll it up, because this is so old.
So do you have to be, what you clock in, do you have to be so close to it for it to, once you clock in, do you just, what if you just went and did something in the field and then clocked out at the end of the day? Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not, okay. That's,
I mean, it still doesn't stop the manager from having to manage, if that's the question. They still have to make sure they know where their employees are at and what they're doing. And, you know, it doesn't waive any of that. I mean, the managers still have to manage. Just whether or not you clocked in or you clocked out at this location. But you can clock in and out at any location with any of the systems that we have.
So like if you lived in Skytooth and you clocked in Pawhuska at 8 o'clock in the morning, you had something job related in Tulsa, and then from Tulsa it was after work hours and you went home, then what?
Then it would have to be adjusted by the supervisor.
Okay. All right.
Just like it is now. And also the other thing is the supervisor can't approve it until the employee verifies the hours that they put in, which holds the employee accountable. So, you know, if he missed punch, he has to be the one that has to help correct it with the supervisor.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. Thank you.
Anyone else?
While I was sitting there, some of the things that we're doing now that we're paying for is background checks. The system will do it, and it's cheaper. The 360 evaluation, which we are currently doing, it'll do it, which we're paying separately. The Affordable Care Act information, it'll do it, which we're paying separately, as well as the FMLA. Those are the ones I can just think of right off my head. Plus, not having the old system, whatever that dollar may be.
Right. I just want to go on record too, because I think that I don't know that there's been anything put out to the employees about the change in new timekeeping with these biometric scanners. Has there been any employee? Have you guys put anything out to the employees that they're going to have a new way of keeping their time?
So, if I can, as soon as we get out of here. As soon as we know something, we will have, the chief wants at the very least that we will have webinars. We'll try to have four open meetings with the employees, or webinars to go over each one of it. And we will not implement it until they understand how it will all work.
Can I finish? I want to go, okay, thank you, so the employees don't know. I want to go on record stating, I know that this has nothing to do with Paycom at all. I am not for the biometric time clocks. It was nothing that was ever presented to Congress for an appropriation. This was something that the executive purchased themselves. They never presented that to us in a budget that I'm aware of. Are you aware of that being presented in any budget at all? No? Okay. I just want to go on record.
It's not through my department, though.
Okay, right. I just want to go on record to say that this idea of biometric time clocks in departments or your place of employment was never presented to Congress. And just as one member of Congress, I'm not really on board for this type of record keeping and timekeeping. So I just wanted to say that at the committee table. I'll probably say it again on the floor of Congress.
Could I ask a question then? So even without the biometric time clock, as an HR director, I cannot believe that we have no way of holding any of our employees accountable. I've never been at a place like this, that we have no accountability whatsoever. So one of the things that intrigued me the most is that we have three or four different methods that we can use as a timekeeping system. And my recommendation, without any question, whether it's a biometric, whether but or employees clock in and out.
And
are you against our employees clocking
in and out? I am not against that, opposed to that whatsoever. I think that that should be done. There should be records kept. I think that, however, I just don't like the biometric device. Yeah. That's all I'm opposed to.
I'm just clarifying.
Right. I do believe that time records should be kept accurately and honestly by our employees, and whatever could roll into their system, I'm for. I'm just not for biometric timekeeping devices at all. And I'm wanting to go on record to state that. And I have nothing to do with it. Thank you.
RJ?
I'm not necessarily against the biometric, although I would have chosen probably to do more of a computer login in and out thing. I think you could do a simple desk audit or something along those lines, track when people are using their computer or whatever, but that's fine. I'm just curious, so I'm intrigued by the $140,000 difference between the amount that was budgeted to your department for this service and the $160,000 potential contract. And I'm wondering if that $140,000 can, and if there's been discussions about using that money to finish the time clocks with the rest of the departments. Is that something that funding can be utilized for? Or is there going to be a supplemental request? Any discussions? Has there been any discussions about that? How they're going to be paid for?
Yes. No, not tonight, I'll pay.
Could that money be used for that?
I think it could. There is. You mentioned the 160. That's the annual fee. 26 pay periods by the number that you're looking at. There's setup implementation. That's one time only. That counts towards the 300 that you need. So if the delta isn't 140, I don't think it's closer to maybe 100 or 90 because of the implementation setup and so forth.
Like so, 48, so 210.
Yeah, so 90 would be the difference, and you know that could be used for essentially whatever the need may arise. I don't know about the cost. I don't know what would be remaining. Scott, you probably know better than I. If there's they've all been purchased or there's more to come.
My understanding, they're all been purchased.
Yeah, I have that one. Well.
And I really thought that they were all. Up, so we don't have them here, so we're not all up, that's for sure.
I have nothing else, Chairman.
Well, I think the employees know that it's not up to this branch of government what executive decides to purchase in terms of how they keep time. I mean, you always hear the other side scream separation of power, and this is one of the areas that they. This is their decision on what they decide to purchase. I agree that it's probably been a long time coming. If we're still using stuff from 1999, it's probably pretty inadequate. I'm glad that we will have something in place. I have always wondered, just looking from the outside in, how you all will manage to make this a fair process of people checking in. I've always wondered how you will do that, given the fact that you have offices in Fairfax and Skiatook and Hominy and Pawhuska, and we're just so spread out. So I'm looking forward to seeing how you're going to make that happen, because as you all know, I'm one of those people that says, if you're going you're going to make one clock in, one department clock in, you make them all clock in, because that's the only fair thing to do. So your employees are going to hold you to that. There's no way that 75% of the employees are going to want to clock in knowing that another 25% don't have to. So that's the only thing I have to add to this. I'm glad that you all are addressing the issue. I remember when I went to work for the casinos, we were still doing timesheets by hand. And it just, to me, didn't make any sense. And then when I moved up here to the nation, I want to say we were still doing some timesheets by hand too. And I just, you know, you have to spend a little bit of money there to keep up with the time. So I'm glad to see that someone's addressing it. RJ?
I make a motion to report ONCR 1709 to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
Motion on the floor, is there a second?
Second.
I think we have discussed, so all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No opposed, motion carries. Chair, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff.
Thank you for having us.